now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Oh, and where on earth did that week go?
It's Thursday, and that means Shout Out.
Today we're going to be talking to Josh Gutteridge about his fight with religion.
Discussing the new movie, Holding the Man.
Plus, as always, your news, events, music and much more.
All right here during the next hour.
Everyone. Hello, Tara.
Hello.
How are you?
All right. I'm okay, thank you.
Is everyone okay?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of us here tonight, actually. There's a lot outside, isn't
there? The green room is full.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it when it's like that. So it's nice to have the whole team. Well, it's not the whole team, but it's nice to have a lot of the team here, isn't it?
Yep.
So, got some lovely things to talk about today as well, haven't we?
We have, but we've also got some shout-outs, literally shout-outs to do.
I've always avoided calling it that. I thought it was a bit too kind of cliché to say, hey, shout-out on shout-out.
Oh, shout-out, yeah.
David, but we've got a lovely...
Beach is the first one.
Oh, yes.
From Glastonbury.
Yeah, bless him. He messages us a lot, so we thought we'd say hello live on air. So, although actually he'll be listening to us an hour later, I think.
At 9 o'clock tonight on GFM, which is 107.1.
So, and I also, we want to say from everyone here at Shout Out, a very happy 90th birthday to, let me make sure I get the name right, Pauline Gill. I knew she was Nick Gill's mum. I just wanted to make sure I got her name right. Now, I don't know if you remember, we did an Alan Turing special a few years back. We managed to interview a Wren who had operated the bomb, as in the machine that did all the decoding, the one that you see in the film with all the dials on it.
Yep.
And Pauline was a Wren during the war who operated one of the bombs. And we actually, Nick, her son, went and interviewed her. And it actually went out in our Alan Turing special. So,
cool.
And she's celebrating her 90th birthday, so we thought we'd say hello to you.
Yay,
so
happy birthday, Pauline.
Lovely birthday. So... and of course it's Ida Hobbit this week. We'll talk about that later though. Talk about that
The raising of the rainbow flag. It actually went up around the world.
Yes,
I was surprised.
Yeah, there was all sorts that happened. We'll chat about that later.
The other end. We like the rear end.
So anyway, today we're talking to the people that set up the Crush Network. They'll be in a little bit later. We're going to be chatting to them all about... they've got a really nice story, haven't they?
They have. Josh and his friend Manuel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah,
there's a religious overtone to that, which is a good side of the story.
Yeah, but that was the pre-Crush network thing. So they're going to tell us about the history, and then they're going to tell us about what they're doing with this new networking group, which should be quite cool.
Yeah.
So, and we've been really lucky, and we got
a preview of
a new movie. It's not very often we get press releases, but it's lovely when we do. And there's a new movie that's coming out called Holding the Man. Now we've watched it, haven't we? And it's very emotional.
It is. So, very emotional, yeah. Did you shed a tear?
Yes. I won't lie, I did. So, but we'll be having a conversation with it later, talking about it.
Yeah. And we got some really good music. And we've also got the news. And Tara's going to be doing...
Yes, events.
We'll have a go.
Outshout is the technical term, I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah, she even thought of one, wasn't it?
Well, outshout.
Yeah.
Yes. Moi.
What's the matter? You don't seem very proud of it. You should be.
Well,
it's the name we run with.
Outshine.
Yeah.
Well, it's the name we did run with.
Yeah. It was better than events.
Very true. Maybe we should think a name up for news. Maybe we can involve the listeners.
News.
Send us a new name for the news.
Snippets.
Event.
Snippets.
Snippets.
No, they're quite thorough, our news, aren't they? Terry's really good at researching the news.
In depth. Terry is superb at it.
Yeah,
past master.
Yeah, it does become a bit of a challenge actually when we do something like a special feature and you've got to think of a name for it. So After Dark, which is our other show, was actually quite a clever name, you know, and that came about because we all sat around the table recording it.
Yeah.
So
and Time for Tea.
Time for Tea, which hasn't started yet.
No, true.
So. Anyway, we ought to get some events, really, hadn't we? So are you ready, Tara?
Just about.
At all. So, named by Steffi, it's called Outshout this week, presented by Tara. It's our pick of the best events coming up in the next week or two. What have you got for us today, then?
Right, OK, we've got the bank holiday coming up soon, so we've got quite a lot coming up.
Yeah,
it's really busy. Your market's going to be buzzing.
And then it's like ages to the next one. Isn't the one after that then August?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it feels like a long slog all the way through to August.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
And then another long slog till Christmas.
Yep.
Oh, you mentioned the C word.
We've got the sun coming. So, anyway...
What we got coming up on the bank holiday?
Right, the bank holiday. We'll start with the bank holiday. Okay, so we start on the 26th with Drag Idol finals.
Oh, yes.
Are on the 26th.
That's a Thursday then. That must be a Thursday, yes.
Yeah, that's Thursday.
Well, you better know because you're going to be there.
And then so,
it's not on tonight because they've got Willem, you know, who did that rather rude take on a very popular song, which I don't know if I dare say the name of on air, actually. But just Google Willem.
Don't drag something.
I don't think Ofcom are listening. Yeah.
That's not the point. Right. We're not allowed to say it. So, but yeah, she's there tonight, so then that's the following week, isn't it?
Yeah, and then on the 27th, we've got Glitzy Girls on the Friday, so that's back in again on
the Queen's
Shilling. Yeah, yeah. And not to be biased, on the 28th, we've got the Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights? What's Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights, it's the Bristol Bear Bar.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, it's the 70s, 80s disco night.
Oh, I didn't know the Bear Bar was doing the 70s, 80s night.
So you can have a go with
DJ, you feel young DJ again. Daddy.
Yeah.
From Bass Radio, another station that takes us.
And then we'll take you and you can feel like you're back in your 50s again.
Steady. Steady, I'll hit you with my dimmer.
And then on the 29th, we've got to the Bear Bar again. We've got the Harness, the Fetish Social.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just thought of you. And then there was the one...
What do you mean you thought of me?
Well, you talked about you talked about Manchester. I was
Swarm the week after.
Oh, right. So the other one is Tom Marsh presents King's Cross at the Cube, which is on the Wednesday, 8th of June at 8 p.m. It's a...
We're going quite far in the future here, then, aren't we? What's
well,
he doing?
Get your tickets, isn't it? You've got to buy your tickets.
Yeah,
if you don't put it in an advance, by the time it comes round, your tickets are sold.
Tom, I bet you any money Tom's listening, because apparently he listens to us while he's eating his tea. So
isn't the London one sold out now?
Tom Marshman's events always sell really well.
This is the Bristol one.
Yeah, there is some availability at Bristol.
Yeah, and there's some tickets still available. Well, there was when I checked earlier on. So it's 8th of June, 8 p.m, and it covers the LGBT community in London through the 1980s.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. That was...
Yeah, all of Tom's stuff. We always hear very high praise. I've seen some of them. They're brilliant. So, and hello if you're listening, Tom. Because I know he's probably eating his dinner.
He does get a lot of positive write-ups in the media.
Yeah.
Very good. Any more?
No, that was it, really?
That was it.
That was a quick one. Lots of events.
Yeah,
cool.
It's short and sharp, isn't it? I'll try and fill it out next time.
Do you want me to sing for a minute?
No.
I brought a snack because I might get a sugar in the low because I won't be having dinner till late today. So I brought some nuts in.
Good sugar for you,
I like that.
Oh, it is. Hang on.
Is it sugar-free?
Munchy seeds. To describe it to the listeners, it looks like birdseed.
That's probably what it is, actually, repackaged.
With no sugar.
But it's high in omega, so I'll be munching that. Probably live on air.
Well, I tell you what, you've got 3 minutes 31 seconds before we're interviewing our guest to munch your nuts.
Oh, no, I can't.
Is that right?
I'm going to be dancing to this one.
Right, thank you, Tara.
Thank you.
Is inevitable, except from vending machines.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, you're camping it up a bit this week, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, are you eating your nuts?
I like bit of nuts. Can you just check I haven't got any stuff in my teeth?
It's fine, it's radio. They can't see.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm always suspicious about these mics.
No, no, we got used to your ugly mug over the years. But fine. Sorry, guys. Well, me and Steph have a love-hate relationship on Shoutout, don't we? We take the mickey out of each other every single time we broadcast together.
Actually, those nuts are quite nice.
So it's, I'm sorry, it still looks like birdseed, if you ask me. It really is. So anyway, a very warm welcome to the show to Manuel and Josh.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for joining. Where have you guys come from today?
From all the way from London.
Oh, right. Yeah. That there, London.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Yeah. That place over there.
It's a different country, isn't it?
Totally, totally.
It does feel like it when you go there, it has to be said. So, yeah. Which part are you, can you say?
Dalston.
Oh, yeah, so we're
East London.
We're right. Deep in the depths of East London, so yeah, it's quite an experience.
Although, Manuel, you don't sound very Cockney. It has to be
fair. Try to.
I guess Andy needs a geography lesson. Baden's not near London.
Yeah. So anyway, now you come in to talk to us about Crush Network, which is a new networking group. Yes. that's coming here. But before we move on to that, there's a bit of a history to it and how it all started. Do you want to take us back to like where it all kind of began, kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. So we were sitting around our kitchen table about 2 months ago, actually, and my background, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, my family disowned me for being gay, so I fell upon the religion, the gay community, the LGBT community, to get the support that I needed during that time. And Manuel and myself, we were sitting around the kitchen table 2 months ago, and we kind of thought, okay, there's not enough places for people to network these days in the LGBT community, so...
So yeah, we decided to create an event monthly, first of all in London. And what we want to do with that, we want to bring people back to meet face to face.
Right.
And give, I would say, the romance a bit back. So not anymore like for that time period to sit on, not on your app, you know, to get off it. And yeah, and actually socialize with people, and especially for people who may be new to the city or not out yet as well, to have the support, actually network to meet others, like-minded people.
That's a novel concept, isn't it? Meeting face-to-face.
I know, right? Well, yeah. That, taking it back to how it used to be.
Back to
Are you feeling young again?
It's going to get such a slap.
Now, we should point out, this isn't a network, this has nothing to do with being Jehovah's Witness or ex-Jehovah's Witness, is it?
No,
this
so it was, I mean... Obviously, my background contributed to part of the reason why this idea has all been established, you know. But
is it true that your mum gave you a book on how not to be homosexual?
Yeah, so
is that a good read?
Well, I probably read about half a page and then realised it wasn't for me.
I wonder why.
I kept trying to convince myself that I like girls, but I don't think that one was ever going to work. But yeah, no, my family were very, they really tried to, you know, sit me down and ask me why this was all happening and that it wasn't natural, and my mother gave me a book to try and persuade me to be straight and give me experiences of people that, you know, apparently have been able to turn from being gay to being straight people and leading a happy married life. And it was a really difficult period of time. There was a lot of guilt around that, you know, feeling that I was always doing something that was wrong, or that I always had these thoughts that were wrong.
Is that because you were in that environment and you didn't perhaps know that it, you know, that the LGBT community is out there and it was okay?
Yeah, so you're kind of brought up in this bubble, I suppose, where you're told that being LGBT, being a member of the LGBT community, is wrong, you know, and it's almost a sin to take part in that. So very big re-education that I've been through, so to come out of that bubble and realise that actually it's absolutely fine, and these people are really nice and they're really accepting, and it's a totally new life for me, total change around.
How do your mum and dad stand now?
So I haven't heard from them for just over a year and a half now. So my family and religious community disowned me for being part of this community, the LGBT community.
Well, no, let's be precise. They did it for you being you. It's not to do with being a community, you know. You
well, true.
It's not a choice. We all know that.
But very difficult. But I do think, speaking positively, that you find your family along the way. So I've made a lot of really good friends. Manuel in particular is like a brother to me now. And we have a great laugh together, especially running this new project that we're running. So we can dwell on all the negative points of it, but there's a lot of positives to draw from that process as well, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Is it going to be for LGBT, as in the whole community, or just for guys?
So it's definitely for the whole community. So we would love actually to have a mixed crowd there from lesbians, gays, transgender, bisexual, to have the whole community together and actually network. Because what we realized, it's always very separated. So the lesbian meet together, the gays meet together, the transsexual meet together, so everyone has got their own little group. And I think it's actually a pity, because I mean, in the end of the day, all are in the same boat and would be nice to network all together, because I mean, it's a beautiful group of people all together, and it's a shame that there's never anything happening where all people can meet in the same place, apart from maybe Pride or any of those other, and it would be nice to have something like throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, it does have to be said that there is something to be said for also having those spaces, mm-hmm. that, you know, because we do have networking groups here in Bristol that mm-hmm. are men only and women only, and there are also, you know, trans groups. Yeah. And the like. So I wouldn't necessarily say that there's something wrong with that, but I do totally agree with you. We are very good as an LGBT community of also separating ourselves too much. I mean, it's ironic. It's one of the things that we love about Shoutout is we as a group are LGBT and do all meet and do something every week, mm-hmm. you know. What do you mean by networking? Because people tend to think one of two things. They usually think either dating or they think business. How are you kind of aiming it? What's going to be...
I think it's more about socializing and bring, as I said earlier, the face-to-face networking a bit back, because I think it has gone a bit lost, where it's just easier those days to meet on an app because, you don't have to put much effort into it anymore. So right. I think it's much nicer to meet actually a person face-to-face and have a good chat with people and get introduced to others through them. So, and bring it a bit back to romance as well, I would say. I think it's more romantic to meet in real life than on an application, to be honest.
I wouldn't say we were completely negative against apps. I think they all have their place for people that use those, but just for one evening to be able to put them down is kind of a bit of a relief every now and again. So that's what we're encouraging people to do, just have the courage to put them down for one night.
I don't think you'd be wrong to say we do take advantage of modern technology an awful lot, and then when you do go out and socialise, it's usually in the pub with a few too many pints. have you had an event yet, or are you...
Yeah, so we held our first event, actually, our launch event in Soho last Thursday. We had a great turnout. Over 60 people were there. Really, really nice atmosphere, laid back. We've got some really positive feedback. One transgender girl said that she found it really positive and it helped her to be more confident about her sexuality. Some other friends also gave some really, really good feedback. So we're looking at bringing that, you know, to a bigger audience across the UK now already. We've planned our second event in London, but we're also looking at holding events in Bristol next month and also Manchester to bring this special thing to a wider audience so that everybody can benefit from it.
Cool.
Have you found a venue yet for the Bristol?
No, so we're still looking. In fact, we're going to be staying a few days in Bristol. This is my first time in Bristol, Manuel's second. So we're going to be looking over the next few days for somewhere. So hopefully...
Hint, venue owners.
Venue owners. Feel free to contact us. We'd be very grateful to hear from you guys.
So do we have a plan for... you know, when you want to be up and running here in Bristol as well, or is it just a kind of watch your space and wait and see?
Actually, so the plan is we aim for the end of next month, so the end of June.
Right.
And yeah, I would say the third week or fourth week, like really much, pretty much to the end of June, more or less, because our second event now is taking place on the 9th of June in East London, in Haggerston, in the Shed. And
in a shed?
Yes.
In the Shed. Yes. It's a very contemporary underground venue, but it's called The Shed. No, it's really cool.
I think he was being facetious.
I was going to lend him my garage. It's really. Cool. So how are you kind of like networking out to people to get them involved in the first? I mean, obviously you're here on Shoutout, which is great because that's going out to lots of people. But, you know, have you got a website going? Are you on Facebook and all those kind of things?
Or? Yeah, so the website's www.crushnetwork.com. That's Crush with a K. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram with the social handle Crush Network. And yeah, we've got a great mailing list on the website. So we're encouraging people to sign up to get the latest updates. So that when we do bring an event near you guys or further across the UK and even abroad, that everyone can get involved and really benefit from that and join in and let's make something special.
Yeah, the website's quite good. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It does draw you in. It's quite a smooth website.
Yeah. There's some hot guys on there too.
I noticed.
You weren't the photographer by any chance, were you?
Wow, we're still trying to find some nice models for that one.
So if I come along to your first event in Bristol, I mean, I'm not someone who gets particularly shy, but say I am, you know, what kind of thing can I expect?
I think you can expect a really nice laid-back atmosphere. We've been to a lot of events in London and we tend to find that some of them music's a little bit too loud, you can't hear each other speak, the venues tend to be a little bit, you know, not the nicest venues. So we've really put a lot of effort into choosing the right venue, setting the right atmosphere. We've also got a scheme, a buddy up scheme, so there's nobody that's left on their own. So if someone's left on their own, they're always introduced to somebody out, so feel free to come along if you're on your own. If you're new to the city, new to England, come along, and if you're not even out yet and you're listening, feel free to come along and you'll be made very welcome.
I love that idea, because how many times do you go to an event to meet people and you're on your own and all you do is want to die?
It takes an awful lot of guts to go to an event on your own, especially if you're not even out or you're really
totally
shy.
Totally, and we're prepared for all of that. So we're encouraging people, you know, just to pluck up a bit of courage, come on your own, come with friends, of course, but we'll make everyone feel really welcome.
Cool. So that address again is crushnetwork.com.
Crush with a K.
Crush with a K. I like the Crush with a K. Guess what? Is there a history behind the name?
I don't know. We just sat down and we were brainstorming some ideas and we thought Crush. Everyone makes of it what they want to, basically, with networking, whether it be social, professional.
Listen to the next track and you'll find out all about it.
Well, listen, guys, it's lovely to have you on and enjoy our city when you're having a look around tomorrow.
We shall make the most of it.
Definitely.
As soon as you know a date and venue, do let us know and we'll make sure that we get it up on our website as well. As your own,
we look forward to seeing the Bristolians there.
Cool.
It's going to be Gert Lush.
Yes.
Learning all those new words.
Gert Lush at Crush. Yeah, I think you just found the Bristol tagline there. So anyway, stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out podcast.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Really? Yeah, Bianca.
Bianca. What?
That's who's singing it, isn't it?
Oh, right, okay.
Bianca.
Sorry, I thought you expected me to go, Ricky.
Did you want two L's on the end? Bianco, seeing as we're doing Bristolian.
Bless.
That was from Queer as Folk.
Oh, well, that mix. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I like Queer as Folk.
It's good. Watched it recently again.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. It's slightly dated, but the music isn't dated.
No. I don't think it ever will do. So I remember that was one of the most popular mix CDs of all time.
I've still got that out in my cupboard. Both, in fact, one and two.
Yeah, I think I have somewhere, not sure. So. Anyway, yeah, that was nice. It was nice talking to them, wasn't it? So
yeah.
It'd be quite cool if that works out. It'd be nice to see which venue they pick.
Yeah, I should be popping along.
Yeah. So anyway, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Natalie and Mitch.
Hello.
How are you both? Well, we've got lots of news.
Mitch is busy lubing her lips. He's ready.
Just in case I get dry mouth.
I know. And I'm saving my throat.
Oh dear. Okay.
I think they just heard what you said, Steph, and just wanted to rush to come and see what was actually happening.
I say something completely innocent and you lot jump straight in. And
them lot
it.
Out there, I knew what he meant.
We should explain. Mitch was using lip silk in case anyone said a little bit more. Should we just get on with the news, shall we?
Moving on. This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 19th of May.
It's funny, quipped host Petra Mead on last Saturday's Pan national transmission of the Eurovision Song Contest final. I was at a fan party last night and not a single man there came on to me. Oh yes, the Eurovision organisers are well aware that it's a significant LGBT following, as was evidenced by the large number of rainbow flags in the audience. In a dramatic final, the Ukraine won a historic victory with singer Jamala's gentle bass heavy track about the Russian army's cruel treatment of ethnic Tatar peoples in the Ukraine during the Second World War. Russia's entrant had attempted to deflect traditional Eurofans' hostility to his country by speaking out against Russia's annexation of the Crimea in 2014 and its now notorious aggressive anti-gay policies. In the event, Russia came second to the Ukraine, and the head of the official Eurovision fan club explained that many former Soviet countries that would normally have voted for Russia had delivered it a pointed slap in the face. Distant shortwave radio station Radio Free Europe said that Russian authorities were angry at their losing the contest to such a political song. The Guardian newspaper went further and described the mood in the Kremlin as apoplectic, whilst one columnist in the Times took aim at Russia's international TV news network Russia Today, which they said was putting out more of its customary conspiracy theories about the Ukrainian victory. So off to next year's contest in Kiev. The Ukraine, like Russia, does not have a splendid record on human rights, so we shall have to wait to see how this plays out for gay Eurofans. Watch this space for more.
The Guardian newspaper this week ran a major essay on the plight of LGBT people fleeing persecution in Uganda, one of the African continent's most notoriously discriminatory countries. Many seek asylum in Kenya, where the situation for minorities is often not much improved. Nevertheless, the essay notes how the bounds of gay and trans solidarity form across boundaries of nation and class, and there is a gradual hope for the future, with even the most homophobic of societies now discussing LGBT issues.
Manchester has sworn in its first ever openly gay Lord Mayor. Carl Austin is a well-known LGBT rights campaigner and was voted the winner of the Mr. Gay UK Beauty Pageant in 2001. His swearing-in ceremony was covered by several national newspapers and the gay newswires Pink News and Gay Star News.
LGBT Bristol is looking for a volunteer treasurer. The network, which coordinates campaigning within the City Council, says that the work is minimal, just checking figures and budgets, occasionally signing off forms. And if you're keen, so please email sarah@lgbtbristol.org.uk or visit their website.
Bristol's Lord Mayor, Claire Campion-Smith, and members of the council attended a flag-raising ceremony on Tuesday of this week. 17th May every year is marked as the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. It commemorates the day in 1990 that the World Health Organization of the United Nations formally declassified homosexuality as a prima facie mental illness, some decades after most psychological bodies. In Bristol, a rainbow and trans flag was raised above City Hall on College Green, with numerous dignitaries and activists in attendance. The ceremony was covered on a local television station made in Bristol.
Media website Digital Spy reports that the gay host of BBC Radio 1's breakfast show, Nick Grimshaw, has lost some of his audience. Mr. Grimshaw hangs on to around 6 million young people who listen to the Beeb's main pop network. Meanwhile, Chris Moyles, who Mr. Grimshaw replaced, and who Stonewall once complained was making borderline homophobic remarks on air, has seen his audience over on commercial indie station Radio X fall by 43%.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
for Shout Out News. This has been Muffin Top Lip Lover.
And Natalie.
I don't quite know what to say to that.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you. If the Mayans have taught us anything, it's that if you don't finish something, it's not the end of the world.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Do you know, I'm feeling like I'm like about 20 years old again.
Well, you managed to rock the arm off that chair, didn't you? Bopping around so much.
Just fell off. That was a bit violent, that bopping.
The bopping?
The
shifting
of your cheeks, left and right.
Don't start.
That was Deja Vu featuring Tarzan.
Mitch lent me
her lips off. Really, is that where you slipped off the chair? I was wondering. I just thought you liked it on the floor.
I don't know what the hell went on with her at the end of the news there. She forgot what her name was.
She did.
Yeah. So anyway, what did we decide Carl's hashtag was for this week?
Can't believe Steph said that.
Yeah, that's it.
There's the normal one that every Friday, I think the hashtag trends. Can't believe Steph said that.
It'll be trending all right. Without a doubt.
Anyway, Ivan and Steve are in with us. Hello, guys.
Hello.
So, welcome back, Steve.
Thank you.
Especially if you listen to After Dark, you'll have heard Steve's voice reviewing lots of movies with us many times. But you've been on the show several times as well, haven't you?
Also speaking about my Jehovah's Witness past.
Yes.
And he's got his Queer Vision.
In fact, that's why we've got you in, actually, because you're part of the Queer Vision, which is Bristol's LGBT Film Festival, is that?
Indeed, yeah.
Safe to say. It's a bit more than just a festival.
It's more than a festival
kind of
now,
year
because,
round, isn't
yeah,
it?
We're doing events all through the year.
Now, we're talking about a movie that we were all very lucky and got the chance to watch pre-release, because it's not out yet, is it?
June the 3rd.
Yeah, it comes out June the 3rd. And it's a brand new movie called Holding the Man by Timothy Conagrave. Do you want to give us a synopsis, Ivan, of kind of what the movie's about?
Well, basically, it's based on a man's memoirs about his experience of a 15-year relationship he had with his partner. And I say had. Well, it's a roller coaster ride. That's all I can say. So it's a memoir from when they were at school together right through to adulthood.
It's based on a true story, isn't it?
And
it's actually based on a real written memoir.
It is, yeah. It is based on a true story, very much so a true story. And it's also based in Australia, which gives it another angle as well. So,
cool. Well, we got a little clip, which is, I think, from quite early on in the film.
Yeah, the guys have just met at school.
Yeah, have a listen to this.
I'm naked.
Someone's on the phone for you.
Who?
A boy from school. Hurry, please. I've got dinner on. Tell your friends not to call at dinner time.
I can call back.
What? Why?
Are you dinner?
No, it's okay. We're having casserole.
We just had chops and mashed potato. And peas.
I like you.
That's good.
I really like you. I've liked you for some time.
I like you too.
Does this mean that we're going out?
You haven't asked me yet.
John Callio, will you go round with me?
Yep.
Oh.
There you go.
The beginning of a steamy romance.
Yeah. Now, before we go into full on talking about the movie, just a warning if you're listening, there may be one or two spoilers in what we're talking about. We're trying not to give away too much, but inevitably there will be bits that we talk about that may well, not ruin bits of the film, but, you know, give away bits that you would learn a bit later on in the film. So if you really don't want to know anything about it, switch radio off for 5 minutes and come back, or fast forward the podcast, whatever. So now the first question is, of course, the film revolves around a time when HIV and AIDS was very prevalent and not very curable at all, doesn't it?
Well, in fact, when the boys met at school, which is a Roman Catholic school, of course, this is the late 70s, I think, so actually nobody had ever heard of HIV or AIDS then. So as their relationship develops over the 15 years, then, of course, that became a very major issue for the gay community. So and it becomes apparent later on in the movie.
The first question is, though, it plays a big part in the movie, but personally I wouldn't say it's about that. I would say it's actually a love story. Would you agree?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think it takes you through the emotions that many of us feel in a relationship, and I think there's a lot of honesty about relationships in the film.
Yeah, I looked at it like a love story. I didn't see it as a documentary about HIV.
Yeah,
it was definitely just a love story about two young guys.
I agree with you. And in fact, actually, when the HIV issue came up, it, even though it shouldn't have been, it came as a huge bombshell for me, actually. And the way
in the film.
I know it sounds ridiculous. I wasn't expecting it at all.
No. I did initially, as the film started to go on, thought it was just going to be your old classic, you know, the parents hate it, Roman Catholic, they're gay, they get kicked out, they run away. And it's not, is it?
No.
There
are some harrowing parts. So if anything, the parents kind of, they get quite accepting as the film goes, or more accepting, I should say. You know, that word we hate these days, accepting, but that was very much what it was like back then, wasn't it?
Well, I think we like accepting, but we don't like tolerance, isn't it? That's the way now. Yes, okay. I think people used to use tolerance quite a lot, and now we've seen
that. Well, there was a lot of grimaced parents regularly throughout the film, I thought.
I thought it was hysterical. I mean, you know, because we've all been there, haven't we? Well, not necessarily all of us.
But younger generations listening to us now probably haven't.
Well, that's interesting you say that about the young generation, because I don't think there's been a movie, quite a graphic movie, about involving HIV and AIDS since something like Philadelphia had come out all those years ago, 25 years ago. I haven't seen anything quite so graphically full of content since then, to be honest.
So do you think, you know, especially if those that are like in their teens now see the film, it's going to be quite a revelation to them? Because, you know, I'm 38 and I'm not going to guess your ages, but you guys are older than me. We remember when people did get really ill from HIV. They developed AIDS, and, you know, I remember at 18 friends dying. That doesn't happen now because we have a good enough medication, but the film does portray that, and very graphically.
Yeah, I mean, for me, during that kind of period, I was still living as a straight man straight youngster in a small town.
So you experienced what I'm on about then, watching the film.
Really, see anything that close at the time.
Right.
So yeah, for me, it is seeing how.
But did you think that the movie was shocking with that betrayal? Or
I guess I have. You know, I have seen other films along those lines. So, you know, Angels in America and things like that as well. So I guess I've seen it portrayed in a similar way before.
Yeah, I think a lot of younger people who go to see this movie, I think, are going to be a little bit startled, because, of course, nowadays we're used to the medication that's available. And I don't think people... younger people these days necessarily realise how harrowing the whole HIV AIDS thing was in the 80s. But I don't want to dwell on that.
No, I was going to say, we're getting a bit kind of morbid, but I mean, it is a big part of the movie.
It is.
But I mean, overall, like, it kind of had a bit of everything. It had lots of comedy in it. There's a lovely romance that goes the whole way through it. And of course, the whole issue with the struggle, which kind of sort of secondary, but still very key to it. I don't quite know how to describe it, actually.
I found the comedy side a bit difficult to handle. Because,
did he?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was looking at it as a love story, and then the harrowing fact with HIV, and they were the film was actually showing the wards and people actually dying of AIDS, and these two guys loving each other so much, and then the loss. I couldn't.
Well, they held their heads up high.
They did,
didn't they?
They did, but you know. I still couldn't laugh. As though, oh, that was funny, because there was something deeper going on in my head as I was watching. It was taking me to a different level.
Go on, be honest, how many of you shed a tear?
I may have wept a little tear. I don't often cry at movies. Steve will tell
you
that.
I did.
He was a blubbering mess because we watched it together. So yeah.
What about you, Steph?
Lynn did as well.
But I will say.
We're running out of time very rapidly. But if you had to give it a scoring out of 5, where would you put it?
Oh, I'd give it a 6. You must go and see it, or it'll be on Netflix, I think, as well.
I heard they've actually bought the exclusive rights to it after it's been out in the
once.
Once it's been released.
So you'll all be able to watch it.
So 6.
Out of 5, 6.
Yeah. Great. Okay, Steve.
I would probably go out of 4.5 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd give it just over 4.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's up there on my highly recommended. With a word of caution, it is very emotional.
Yes.
Elgin's.
So. Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, this is a bit of a change.
I thought the words went well with the movie, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
On the Tamla Motown label 1966, The Elgins. Put yourself in
my
place.
I'm glad you said that. I thought it was Elgins.
No, it's Elgins.
Elgins. So. But anyway, yeah, do check out the movie when it comes out, Out in the Man. And also, don't forget, we were just talking to Steve, actually, just reminded us, so the week up to Pride, of course, Queer Vision will be doing loads of screenings. How many did you say you got?
There's 5 screenings throughout the week.
Yeah, different movies,
Saturday,
I hasten to add. Saturday
the 2nd of July.
Cool. So, yeah, we're checking out. We've done quite a few of the Queer Vision things. They're really good. So I like the shorts one they did, where they had lots of little short movies.
And they're always really well attended, actually. They're always packed out, those screenings. Yes.
The funniest one, I forget what it was called now, but it was about the fetish club in London. And all the people turned up in their rubber and leather and sat in the cinema together. It was the most surreal experience ever. It was really good.
Handy.
Everyone always remembers the zebra short as well.
Well, that runs into a tree and all the stripes fall off him. Yeah, that's very good.
That's great, though.
So, other things we need to tell you as well. Of course, it was Ida Hobbit Day on Saturday. Idaho, as you may have once known it, or Ida Hot. It's now Ida Hobbit. We've got some reports on it. We wanted to get him in this week, but we just didn't physically have enough time. So there's lots of reporting on that next week.
Was our new mayor down on College Green for that? I wasn't sure. Fantastic.
Yes, for the flag. Well, correction, actually, the new said that the Lord Mayor was there. I don't know about the actual
right.
Mayor.
Okay.
Not, yeah. That's really rude.
Because that's still Claire, isn't it? She's still the Lord Mayor. There's a new mayor making, I guess she gives up her mayoralship very soon, actually.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. It's we'll have a new Lord Mayor for Pride.
Oh, will we?
Yeah, we will do. Oh. Yeah.
We don't vote on that, though, do we?
No, we don't. No, we know that, don't we? Because we've been going back.
We won't go there.
Did you see, going back to Ida Hobbit, did you see that the US embassies around the world raised the rainbow flag alongside the Stars and Stripes?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether we did alongside the Union flag.
Well, I can tell you that David Cameron did say that he might make Britain number one for LGBT people.
He did. When Ida Hobbit talk, yeah.
The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, who is a Muslim, had the flag raised on the town hall there as well, so in London. So, which is great.
It's, you know, nothing to do with religion at all. You're either gay or you're not.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, which is
or wonderful. Somewhere in between. I should point out to be politically correct. Yeah. So, all good. And of course, next week it's Harvey Milk Day.
Well, it's Harvey Milk Day on May 22nd, so unfortunately, it doesn't land on a Thursday. So we're missing out on it. But we're talking about it, aren't we?
Yeah. And did you spoke to his nephew?
Yes. So the late Harvey Milk was assassinated in 1978, and his nephew Stuart is a big activist over in the US. I say the US, actually, he's a big activist all over the world.
Yeah, well, he was here for LGBT History Month.
That's right.
Here in Bristol.
I managed to collar him.
Yeah.
for a whole half hour, but unfortunately you're only going to get about 10-15 minutes of that conversation. But it was a very interesting conversation.
But if you want to know more about the story and you have an Amazon subscription, the film Milk is available to watch free of charge on Amazon Prime.
Right, okay. But I must say,
well, that, worth checking out.
That movie's okay, but it's not 100% accurate as
no, but if you have no idea of what's going on, it does give you some idea, which is, you know, it's
a good caveat thing. There you go.
Still.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening this week.
Next week we're talking Harvey Milk Day.
Plus everything you need to stay current in the LGBT world.
Have a good week, rainbow people.
Are we rainbow people?
Yeah. Da-da, da-da.
Make it sound like we're Teletubbies.
We've seen nothing.
La, la, la.
Anyway, from myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.